they're getting wild for me. And all the pretty chicks all wanna smile at me. These rap cats, man, they all got this out for me. And if I ever see them, man, they probably bow to me. And when this beat drop, I know they gon' lean. Word they be.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Amon Sheeran's Pirate Radio. Today we have recurring guest Ryan DePinto on to talk some basketball and some running stuff. So thank you, Ryan, for joining us again.
Yeah, no problem. Excited to be here.
All right. Yeah, so in honor of Selection Sunday, we're going to talk a little NCAA March Madness. I'm really excited to have the tournament back in our lives, and I think this is what we need after a tough year.
Yeah, no, I couldn't have said it better myself. I feel the same way. I'm not too hyped about the new setup with the games getting moved to Friday. I saw the first round of games are Friday, Saturday instead of Thursday, Friday, which will make the work week a little more boring. But I mean, I can't complain too much about it.
Yeah, it's as long as it's back. But they were talking about that on Part of My Take. Like, we need that Thursday game to bridge us over into the weekend.
But, oh, 100%.
Yeah.
That was the best, just being in school and, like, us all checking our brackets. And,
oh,
like,
my God. Everyone would have their brackets in their pocket. Like, who you got? Who's your leader?
Yeah,
who's your
7th, 8th, and 9th period, just watching on your phone, getting yelled at.
And then the best was before the pre-practice meeting, throwing it on the TV before 2:46.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Always.
Just takes me back. All right. So we got undefeated Gonzaga as one of our one seeds, and then Michigan, Baylor, and Illinois. I'm honestly pulling for Illinois in honor of my main man Barstool Carl. But okay. Who do you think anyone can take down Gonzaga?
Back in November, I was like, after watching one or two Gonzaga games, I was like, I really don't see anyone beating them, honestly. And I kind of don't think my position's really changed on that. I mean, obviously they can lose, but they've just given us nothing to give us a reason to think they'll lose. They have scores all over the floor. And I'm probably going to stick with them as national champions. I just think that's the safest bet. And I mean, it's not the, obviously a lot of people are going to have them filled in the one spot, but I really do think they're the best team, the most complete team. And I don't think they'll have trouble until maybe the Elite Eight.
Right. I think they're chalk, but they're chalk for a reason.
Yeah.
Just got to go to your, throw it to your shirt, Patrick Ewing and the Hoyas. I just won
5. Exactly. I was pumped to see them get in
to make the tournament. So I'm really excited to see them in too.
Unfortunately, the game so far.
Yeah, they're doing really well. Unfortunately, a lot of blue bloods didn't make it this year. I don't know if I can consider Kentucky's definitely a blue blood, actually, but your Wildcats didn't make it this year.
Yeah, that was a brutal, brutal season. I was honestly happy when they lost in the first round of the SEC tournament, just to put me out of my misery.
Yeah, I hear you.
We'll see. We'll see who comes back. And Cal needs to work some stuff out, but I don't know. That was everything that went wrong in that season. So yeah,
Murphy's honestly, Law.
Watch some fresh teams that I can just watch without a rooting interest. But it does feel like this whole, honestly, season, I haven't been as into college basketball, I think, because Kentucky's been so bad. And I haven't had to watch other teams and see who's kind of could potentially be competition and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with all that. It's kind of like a unique experience for me watching the tournament, like more as a fan than as having a strong rooting interest in the bracket in that sense. So yeah,
certainly a different perspective. Also no Duke, noted blue blood out. They had someone opt out.
Not upset about that.
Yeah, no, I hate Duke too. So I was happy to see them lose. I'm fine with that. But yeah, I want to kick it over to our Knicks. Got to be happy with how the season going. We had two people in All-Star weekend, Julius Randle in the All-Star game, and just casually losing in the first round of the skills contest.
He was just happy to be out there.
Yeah, just going for a jog. And then we had Obi Toppin throwing it down. Ain't no stopping Obi Toppin in the dunk.
Yeah.
I thought that was fun.
I thought he could have, I mean, had a fighting chance for the W there, but I don't know. I feel like all three of them were like, no one really like brought the house down, I would say. But it was good to see Obi in there.
Yeah, it's definitely some cool dunks. Excited for the Knicks. I think we played really well with Elfrid Payton out. I don't think
that's a coincidence. That's not a coincidence at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously that Bucks game was a little tough, but to come back and just crush the Thunder was nice. Just seeing RJ develop has been probably the biggest takeaway from this whole season. Just like the fact that I feel like now I could clearly picture him being like the third best player on a championship team is something that is important.
Yeah, for sure.
In that, the grand scheme of things. And this is all without Mitch too, who had been playing obviously phenomenal towards right before he got hurt. So with them, obviously Randall's been doing his thing, just turning into a real like go-to scorer, facilitator, hustling on D, and just everything Thibodeau's brought in. It's been great. And then obviously another Wildcat, Quigley's just been unreal for
steal the draft.
Yeah, crazy for a late first round rookie who people said went too early at what would we? He was 27 or 28. They were saying that was like people were like, you could have got him at 45, but I mean clearly they made the right choice there. I mean, in a redraft, I don't think he slips out of the top five, honestly. Maybe six or seven.
Yeah, he could certainly be on that all rookie team, and I think he was given a D plus rating when he was initially drafted, and obviously
I saw that by CBS Sports.
Yeah. I think the Knicks Twitter made that into like a t-shirt, like D plus.
Love to see that.
Yeah, I just love Knicks Twitter. Everyone has this like winning the championship, and just everything's better in New York when the Knicks are winning. So it's really
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We got the Nets game tomorrow night. Not too optimistic about that, yeah,
but
it'll just be cool if they could keep it competitive, you know. Like every game the Knicks go into, it seems like they're at least there's not gonna be like a situation where the effort's lacking thanks to the new coaching. So I mean, you gotta just at least appreciate that part of it.
Yeah, I really appreciate that Coach Thibodeau has changed the culture over on the Knicks.
100%.
Yeah, just to throw it back to the high school days of the culture
change. He's talking about Sisu and everything, you know.
Yeah, Sisu's got it all. Yeah, but I'm really happy with how they're playing. To throw it over to the West, who do you think are the Lakers still the biggest threat in the West?
I still think so. I mean, everything with AD, I don't know. I haven't seen too much. I think he's still going to be out for like another week or two. But once they get him back, I think they'll be just 1A, 1B with the Nets.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I'm viewing it. I mean, the Clippers, I'm kind of more in like a proven in the playoffs kind of situation.
Right.
The Jazz, honestly, because the Jazz have always been a regular season team. And then the Suns are intriguing, but I don't think I could see any of them really beating the Lakers in a 7-game series if Davis is healthy. No. With all the pieces they added, Montrez, Dennis Schroeder. It's just, I think they're going to have too much firepower.
Yeah, I was going to mention the Suns. I really like to see them playing well. I like Booker a lot. So
I love it. I love it. They're a super fun team to watch, and they've been. I'm not sure if they're quite on the compete with the Lakers level just yet.
Right, for sure.
They're super intriguing, super fun young team. So I mean, they're good to watch.
I think the biggest threat in the West could be the Clippers, but it's really, are we going to get pandemic P or playoff P? It really depends on that. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. The Clippers should have the people to match up and throw bodies at LeBron, obviously, with Kawhi and Paul George and stuff like that. So it makes sense, but it's just like they got to just show it to us, you know, before. Right. I don't know. We'll see with the Jazz. The Jazz have obviously been just a juggernaut this regular season, but Gobert's had times where he's been played off the floor in the playoffs just because he's not the quickest of foot. And obviously, if he gets switched out onto the perimeter, it can kind of be a problem.
Right.
But he's also been killing it. So maybe it'll be a reverse effect where other teams have to start playing bigger just to deal with him down low and his presence in the paint. So we'll see, I guess.
For sure. I want to throw this at you. How do you think the Sixers match up with the Lakers with Embiid on AD and Simmons on LeBron?
Sixers are a team that I could see, honestly. I think they match up well. I also think they kind of match up, I'm not sure well, but I think they match up pretty well against the Nets in the sense that, like, who on the Nets is guarding Embiid? Like, DeAndre Jordan, he's washed. Like,
yeah.
If they go small with KD at the five, and they've been playing Bruce Brown a lot at the five or four, like, they've just been going crazy small. It's like, you can't do that against Embiid. You can get away with that against, the Knicks when we're playing Randall at the five or something like that, or, like, right. When we have Mitch, like, he's not going to like destroy you down low. Like, but like Embiid's like a true back to the basket, take you out, stretch you out mid range. He can hit some threes if he's open. So like he has the full arsenal and he's a big dude. Like that's not someone you could really go like super small against, but maybe they'll just try to run him off the floor. So I just think that dynamic will be very interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
AD's kind of built to guard him, but like no one really can bang with, with Embiid down low besides Jokic.
No, yeah, not at all. They're the two biggest guys in the league and just such like different guys. Like Jokic's so funny and Embiid's just like a bruiser. He's funny too, but like
you just I'm on team Jokic there. I really like his game. I think if you're starting a team right now just to build around, I don't know how many people I'm taking from Jokic just because it is for me it's like finding. And this is just preference, but if I'm building a team, I want to start with someone that does something in a position that like is almost hard to replicate. You can get shooting at the five position along with playmaking. It's just like there's no alternative for that. And then I like wings that can create like Luka, LeBron, obviously, who can like run your offense from the wing position. It's just like it kind of just like it just changes the game. And that's kind of why one of the guys jumping back to the tournament, Cade Cunningham, I just think is going to be an absolute stud. I've been talking about him for a couple of years, but I just think he's going to be a freak. And everyone's obviously, he's like slated as the number one pick. So it's just like, it makes sense that that type of creator is just, it's super coveted in the NBA.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. Also, as you mentioned, Jokic's passing and playmaking, man, that was a
it's tongue crazy.
He's at an elite level and it's just so fun to watch.
He's not quick. It's just, he gets to his spots and he knows where everyone is on the court. So
yeah. Like, it looks like a terrible shot and just nothing but net all the time. Perfect.
Every time.
So they're doing a different format this year with the 7 through 10 seeds in a play-in tournament to figure out the 7 and 8 seeds going into the playoffs. What do you think about that format? It's a, you know, one game series. I think that's exciting, but what do you think about that going into the playoffs?
I like it. I mean, anything for more basketball, I would say, is good. It adds intrigue. Those teams, like, so let me just pull it up real quick.
I'll pull it up too.
Right now it's Knicks, Hawks, Pacers, Raptors. And then in the West, it's Spurs, Mavericks, Warriors, Grizzlies. So it's just a bit of that. Getting Steph Curry and Ja Morant a chance to play in a play-in playoff game, basically a game 7 type situation. I just think it'll be exciting and must-watch TV. And the other thing is, it's like in the NBA, like anyone from 5 to 8 is not, they're just not, there's no upsets in the NBA. Like you're not going to see a 6 seed run and make it to like, that's just like, that doesn't really happen much. So it's just like kind of crazy to like, it's crazy to worry about it. I just think it just adds more excitement to the game. So I mean, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I totally agree. That do or die scenario, just more basketball. It can't go wrong. Yeah,
more chances to get stars. Exposure like Ja Morant, you know, in that situation. Or I mean, I think the Pelicans are pretty far down, but obviously Zion if they got hot, or the Thunder are right in there. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's been killing it, so it's just like get those guys more shine and more time in the spotlight.
Yeah, I think it'll work. I'm interested to see if they continue. Obviously said it was a one-year thing, but if it does well, I'm sure they'll consider continuing into next year.
Yeah, I feel like they just say that as a way to, if it's bad, they could blame it on COVID. And then if it's, the ratings are great, they're gonna roll with it, you know?
Exactly. Just got to hedge that bet. Something I really want to talk about, I haven't gotten the chance to talk about it with any Syosset guys, but some legendary faders. And what does fade mean to you in the context of Syosset track and field?
Fading's it's an art form. Some people truly had it down better than others, but I would just describe it as when you go out too hard or you're just not in shape or something goes wrong in a race. And instead of just slowly going from running 5:10 pace, if you're in a cross country race or in that's your pace and slowly running like a 5:20, it's just going out the back door, running 10 and just finishing the race and just not even, when you're fading, you don't even know where you are. You don't see anything. You can't hear anything. You just see other dimensions of fade. It's almost like a portal that you get brought through.
Yes, you can definitely unlock that fifth dimension of fade. And all you just feel is pure pain, agony, and you just wonder why you're ever born and put on this
earth. Yeah, 100%. What was your worst?
Fade. I'm definitely a legendary fader. What comes to mind is kind of a random race, but I said before the race, it was a JV Manhattan College meet. I turned to Xander Holsley and I said, Xander, I'm going to drop a 75 because the plan was to get out fast and like, you know, it funnels in.
Yeah.
At the thing. So I did that. I dropped probably like a 78 And I got up the hill. I was in good position. And then they were like, great job, Amon. And then it was just over from there.
That was the last thing I heard.
Yeah, that was the last thing I heard. And the back hills were just absolutely brutal. But I also think you can fade and kind of have a good race if you just delay the fade until later in the race and just limp in. But
yeah,
it doesn't always work out like that for sure.
Yeah. For me, I think college probably. 8Ks are a different beast, but I think I wasn't really I didn't really have too many crazy fades in high school. I'm trying to think. The one I can think of is I was in the Yale Mile and I went out with Tony Russell and Christian.
Tony Russell, that's a name, man. I remember he had the sickest fade high top.
Yeah. So I went out with them for the first 800 and I think we came through in like 205 or something. And it was my first race back from my stress fracture. And I was like, just, I'd been working out well, but like, you know, I guess just didn't have the wheels on me yet. Yeah. And then I just ran a 220, like closing and something bad, ran like a 425 or something. And just, I mean, it wasn't like a crazy bad time, but it was like that when they started to cut down from there and I'm just going out the back door, getting past, feeling like I'm walking. I was just, every second felt like a minute to me. So. Yeah.
I absolutely know the feeling, as you know. I have to shout out some legendary faders. We'll start off with Jack Robbins in the DM.
pretty sure you know. Rob had some fades. Xander had some fades for sure. Yeah. I think for me, one of the most legendary, well, obviously, there's the legend of the Newmans, apparently. Oh,
Michael and Daniel. Shout out
Jack, to shout out Jack Robbins, he said that the last dimension of fade, all you see is just, I forget if it was Daniel or Michael, just Newman. That's the only picture you'll see, and that's when you know you're in the last dimension. But for me, the two that pop into my mind is,
I know who you're gonna say,
Tommy
and Evan, Momo,
and then Miles.
Yeah,
Miles had some fades that were just disrespectful.
Yeah,
that's absolutely really the only way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I would say, honestly. Those two, if I'm talking SAS at fading, we're talking all times, I think those two share the trophy. I mean, you had some as well, so I don't want to discredit you there.
No, of course. Sport,
but I put you more in the Jack Robbins, Xander Hosley. Tommy and that. Miles had a certain level of flair to their fades that just weren't matched.
No, I want to be clear. It's not like having a bad race, because you got out with every intention of having a good race, but it comes to a point where you just have no choice but to just try and finish.
And it's like, it's not just, you can get, like you were saying, you can go out and have a good race, and there's races where like you just go out crazy hard for the first 3K of a 5K and then that last 2K you're fading, but like you're fading to a good time. I would say fading is where you're no longer running a acceptable pace for your fitness level.
Yes, correct.
Like you're not necessarily, sometimes it's not necessarily trying because you're in your own head, but you maybe just went out too hard or something, but you just blow up. Like there's something's wrong. Something's, you're not just like going slow based off the pace you went out in. You're now in like a different level of fade where you're just, every step is pain. There's just pain involved.
Yes. And you can tell too. It's very obvious that your mind, body, and spirit has been crushed to a pebble as you limp slowly towards the finish line.
That's a good way to put it. That's a really good way to put it. The mind, body, and spirit are just, it's everything is, that's what that's, I think that's what it is. It's like you have races where you can have a bad physical race and you're fading, but then there's also races where it's like, you know, your mind's not in it, but you're still running. But then for a perfect fade, you need to have everything. Like the body needs to be hurting. Mentally, you've got to be negative. There's just, there needs to be like some spiritual factors. You need to be seeing Newman, and that it all just morphs together into a perfect fade.
The last thing you see in the dimension of fade is one of the faces of the Newmans staring deep, deep into your soul. But
exactly. They're just telling you to pull the trigger. That's like, just start walking.
Yeah. Just start walking.
With you, and just start walking.
One important dimension of the fade that we forgot is, I think there's certain things a coach can yell at you during the race, but if he's sympathetic, you know, you're like deep in the fade and you're truly fading. Like, come on, like just finish.
Yeah. Those things. And then the other thing I would say is, and maybe it's more of a track thing, but like, you know, you start out running, you're running a 2 mile, you start out running 70s. And you know, they're like 72, get back on pace, 73. Like that was whatever you get to call it, your mile split. It's not what you need. Then they throw like, that was a 78. We're dead. And then stop coaching. the last three laps, when you hear nothing, then you're like, oh, this is bad. Like,
yeah,
this,
you realize.
I'm fading enough to the point that, like, this is no longer constructive for coaching. Like, it's just, we'll deal with it. We'll deal with it after. Like, just get through the line.
Yeah, just get through the line. Just can't walk because everyone can see you. And the true deep fade, I don't want to say any name because it's mean, but if they start clapping you in, that's probably the worst feeling. People think they're doing.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to get sympathy clapped in.
Oh, my God. That's the worst feeling. It really is.
That's tough.
I don't know if you've ever been there, but I certainly have.
I'm trying to think.
Probably not.
I think 8K cross country more.
Really?
Not ever that bad, but maybe just one of those where it's like, then no one off our team, but maybe someone on my team is just like, come on, man, finish up. And it's just disheartened. Like, they know I'm not going to be happy. They know I'm already upset. I'm running 20 whatever something for something that I just, I'm off the pace of where I'm supposed to be. And they know it and I know it, but they're just, they don't know what to do. So they just say like, finish up. And you're just like, oh, this is not what I need right now.
Yep. I love it, man. I can't wait to get out there and fade again. And hopefully,
yeah. Tell me about what are you got some goals or more just
So the goal is I didn't mean to cut you off, but the goal is
you're good.
A half marathon and a sub 5 at the Hoka Mile this year.
So, all right, that's what I like to see.
Something, yeah. I joined SRC, with this is Smithtown Running Company for my training purposes.
So cool.
Somewhat of a coach. I'm gonna Mike, shout out to Mike Petrino. I don't know why I said somewhat, but I had him on the podcast recently and he's going to be coaching me up. So we'll get something.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm in the business of breaking 5 as well. Me and Ty have kind of talked about it, and it's just, I forgot where along the line I realized this, or I think someone else had pointed out, I forget the origin story, but since we broke 5, I had broken 5 every year. And that's just kind of been one of my fitness goals. So,
right.
Obviously, it's 2021 now, so I want to make it 11 or 12 years in a row. So that's just one of my goals that keeps me running a little bit. And then just been mostly spending the time in the gym just to try to bulk up a little bit. But, you know, I still love running, obviously, competitive. My brother runs at Maryland, so I'm still around it a ton. So
shout out to Stin, killing the game out there. And if we could be the Nick Willis of breaking 5. That would be
great. Exactly. That's literally what it is. It's that, but for 5 instead of 4, obviously. That'd be cool if I had a streak of breaking 4.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, that'd be sick. quick segue. I had Chris Chavez on before, and he might come back on, talked about Project 459, which is his race with the Trials of Miles against Malcolm Gladwell, trying to break 5 for the first time. So I'm excited to talk to him about that.
Oh, that's cool. Is that going to be on you just interviewed him today?
No, I didn't just, I had interviewed him like a couple months ago, and he might come back on to talk about that.
Before. Oh, cool. Yeah. I saw a little bit of something about that. That'd be cool.
Yeah. He's a Xavier guy.
Yeah. I also heard him. He was announcing one of the races. I think it was the
Texas one. The Texas one with Merber.
Yeah. No, that was super cool. They did a good job with that. That was awesome.
That was great coverage. That's about it. Thanks, man, coming on. You're
No problem, man. It's always good to catch up, talk a little sports, talk a little around.
Yeah, you're an NBA analyst and part of the Pirate Radio Network, so anytime you want to come back on, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. Maybe we'll do a little playoff preview or something once we get a little bit closer out there.
All right, thanks everyone for listening. I can make a really happy.
It's alive.